Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. We're in this series called We Believe. We're talking about what we believe and why we believe it. Now today, what we're going to talk about is something that many of you know a lot about. But we don't know all that we need to know about it. None of us. Because some of it is a mystery. But what I'm going to talk about today is so exciting. It is so real to who we are in our faith. It is so real because if you can't grasp what we're talking about today and really grow in it and understand it, it's really going to be difficult to be all that God wants you to be in your walk with Him. It's a subject that has some deep theological truth. And today we're going to talk about salvation. You say, well, I understand something about salvation. And I pray that all of you know a lot about salvation. The most important thing is not that you know about salvation. What's most important is that you have salvation. That there has been a moment, a place, and a time when you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, receiving all that Christ has done for you on the cross, and you are now a follower of Christ. 8 days ago, Nick and Meredith were able to return from Malawi, Africa. And through a miraculous move and intervention from God, they were able to adopt a child, our 7th grandchild. The story is way too long for me to tell, but I want to tell you that anyone who has gone through any element of adoption knows that it is an absolutely supernatural story that occurred. Now, Nick and Meredith had 3 children of their own, but they've had a unique passion for adoption for 5 years. So today I want to introduce to you our newest granddaughter, Maya Faith Floyd. Now, Maya's mother was killed in an accident 7 days after her birth in January. And following her mom's death, she suffered from severe malnutrition. And her dad walked 10 miles and gave her away to a ministry called Second Milk in order to simply save her life. But he entrusted his daughter and signed her away. Now, Second Milk was founded and led by one of our members of our church named Jason Carney. And he and his wife have given their lives to that. And they were just finishing up 2 years serving in our orphanage over in Malawi, Africa. Now, the baby was entrusted to Jason to help her. And miraculously, Jason and his wife, Lacey, believed, they tell us, that as soon as they held the child, they immediately said to one another, "This is Nick and Meredith's baby that they've been waiting for." And so since Easter, all of this has been in process, with no promises nor assurances at all. In early May, Nick and Meredith left for Malawi, and for over 3 weeks, Jason guided them through and around all of the challenges that were facing there in that country for adoption to occur. Now, after this little girl was born and her mom died in week one, that little girl did not say to herself, "I want to move to America and become a Floyd." In fact, she didn't do anything at all. Yet when she was adopted, she was given immediate access to everything that Nick and Meredith have to offer in life. Now, why is that? Because adoption places her into our family. It makes her a member of our family miraculously. So immediately she gains all the privileges, all the blessings, and all of the resources. When we experience salvation, we too are adopted into the family of God, and we are given full rights of human adoption, but also we are given the blessing of God because He bestows upon us His very nature at salvation. As well, we are able to do something that we've never been able to do before, and that is to be able to call Him Abba, Father, which is an endearment term meaning daddy. I mean, could you imagine what it will be like one day when that little baby looks up at Nick and calls him daddy? Now, I've never adopted a child, but it would have to be extremely unique when you know that that child had nothing. And the sovereign will and intention of God, God has placed that child into your family. And while your other children might appreciate it, and that child may never learn to really fully appreciate it, it would have to be extremely overcoming for a dad to know, because you know what you've extended to that child. Now, on their own, Nick and Meredith elected to pursue adoption. And on their own, they elected to adopt Maya Faye. She did nothing to receive this gift, absolutely nothing. Do you understand that? She did nothing to receive this gift. That reminds me of a biblical passage that I want to begin reading today, one worthy for you to write down and to turn within your Bible, and that is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Because in Ephesians chapter number 1, we read, an incredible passage in God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, God's Word says, "For He chose us in Him." Now, when did God choose us? Before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself according to His favor and will. The Scripture teaches us that God chose us. This is called election in the Bible. On His own, and for Himself, and for His glory, God has chosen us. In God's sovereignty, He initiated bringing us to salvation. We cannot be saved on our own. It is through His Spirit that He initiates salvation. And we didn't do anything to earn salvation at all. We cannot merit it. We cannot be good enough to receive it. But we know that before the foundation of the world, God extended to us and made us holy and blameless in His sight. John MacArthur writes these words about election. He writes, "Election or predestination does not operate apart from or nullify man's responsibility to believe in Jesus." That is very important for us to grasp and to understand. I mean, how does all this work? God choosing me and then me responding to God. Because we cannot get past those incredible passages where we know that whoever will may come. So what I do know is that God initiates salvation, and there must be a time when I respond to God's initiation of that. What I do know is that every lost sinner, whoever comes into the fullness of salvation, has to come to a point and a place in their life when they receive what God has initiated and what God has willed regarding our salvation. You say, well, help me unpack that. Certainly I can understand all of that. Well, I want to unpack it for you today. I got a word for you. And the word is mystery. That's the word for the day. It's a mystery. You say, well, Pastor, is that the best you got? I'm sorry. It's a mystery. We don't understand it all. We don't understand how all of this works together, but I'm so glad it works together, aren't you? You see, God's got it covered whether you understand it or not. There's a question I want to ask today, and that question is, why can you experience salvation? And when you do experience salvation, what happens to you? I mean, why can that happen? And when you do, what happens? Well, some of us are aware of some of these passages here, but you remember when Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one righteous anywhere in the world. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not anyone here who has the capacity to experience the glory of God that we've been created for once sin enters into our lives. And since we're given a sinful nature and we sin volitionally or with our choices, we have a real problem, don't we? And the problem is we're separated from God. But here's the great news. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word picture here is of a soldier who does his work and his responsibility as a soldier. What he does is he is paid for his wages, and the wages he is paid is worthy of his work. The Bible here uses that term wages. For the wages of sin is what? Death. In other words, as we experience sin, and we are all masters of sin, by the way, and no one had to teach us how to sin, correct? I mean, we got that one down, don't we? But anyway, in all of that, what happens is that the wages of sin is death. In fact, it's eternal death, is it not? So here's what happens. When we have the wages of our sin, and our sin results in eternal death, God tells us these words, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this morning, what I want to I want to unpack in 5 words what this means in relationship to this gift. I want us to open this gift called salvation. And the first word is the word redemption. Redemption. You say, well, that word's too big for me. You hang with me and I'm going to tell you what every one of these words mean. The word redemption means that our salvation has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and serves as a ransom payment for our sin. Did you hear that? It's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it serves as a ransom payment for my sin. Now, here's my problem. Listen carefully and watch this. The wages of my sin is what? Eternal death. You got that? Jesus came as the great Redeemer. And through his blood on the cross, he paid the ransom. He paid the ransom for the wages of your sin. So understand, the ransom payment, redemption, is the gift of God that can give you eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when he paid it, listen carefully, he paid it in full. In full, he paid it. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, right before he died, he said what? It is finished. Meaning what? Paid in full. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it's written in this way, we have redemption in him through his, what is that word there? Everybody say it out loud. Through his what? Blood. Through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace. So Jesus' death on the cross delivered us from having to receive the payment for our sin. When Christ died for me on the cross, he substituted through his redemption, and he received what I myself deserved. But no longer do I have to choose that route in my life, for he is now my redemption. So what we have to do is what? We have to receive that redemption. We've got to receive that redemption into our lives. We've got to walk up to that situation where my sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ, and I have to receive what Christ has done for me. So I ask you today, have you ever received what Christ has done for you through his redemption? You know, we are Cross Church not just because it's a cool name. We're a cross church because the cross represents the death of what Christ did for us on the cross. He paid in full for us, and because of that, we give our lives to him. So the cross is not simply about death, but it is about the saving work of the cross. Well, the second word is the word regeneration. The word is regeneration. The Bible says and teaches us much about regeneration, but we know that regeneration is what? That our God gives us new spiritual life. New spiritual life. That's what regeneration is. It's being born anew. You remember when Nicodemus, the Pharisee, came to Jesus at night? And he came to Jesus in the 3rd chapter of John, and he wanted to talk to Jesus about the kingdom of God. And he knew that Jesus was special because how in the world could Jesus do these miracles? And Jesus told him what in John 3:3? I quote, Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught this element of regeneration. That word regeneration means to be born anew, born again. In fact, it also means ultimately and literally born from above. You remember what Jesus dealt with in Nicodemus? Nicodemus said, well, so if you're talking about being born, what you're saying is that I, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, have to enter back into my mother's womb in order to be born again? And Jesus said, oh, no. No, we're talking about, that's what we call physical birth. I'm not talking about physical birth, Nicodemus. You can know all the law, but your problem is not what you know. The problem is you don't know what you need to know. And you need to know you need to be born from above. That's regeneration. So the Bible goes and explains this in another capacity over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I love this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Isn't that wonderful? If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Now, what does that mean? All things have passed away. Behold, all things, new things have come. Behold, all things have come. Well, some people would say, what? They would say, what does that mean? Well, let me explain to you what that means. When you are born from above and the Holy Spirit has given you new birth and has appropriated the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross in your life, then what occurs right there is that you are placed into the family of God. You are born from above. Now listen, when you were born physically, do you know what date you were born? And do you know where you were born? Well, most of you know where you were born, right? Well, listen, when you're born anew, you may not always remember the date you were born anew, but you've heard me say this for years. You will always remember where you were when you were born anew. You don't ever forget where you've been born anew. People say, well, I've been a Christian my whole life. No, you have not been a Christian your whole life. You see, you can't be a Christian your whole life. You have got to be born anew. You got to be born from above. There's got to be a time and a moment and a place when Jesus bursts you into his kingdom. In fact, Jesus said, if you've never been born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So there is very important we grasp that and we understand that. Now, maybe years ago, people would come and they would join a church because they felt it would prosper their business if they would go to a church like ours. Well, you know what we would call that? We would call that cultural Christianity. But you can't be saved through having cultural Christianity. There's no such thing as cultural Christianity. You're only born again one way, and that's by being born from above by the Lord himself. So it's important we understand that in the 2 Corinthians 5:17 passage, it means that we're born from the inside out. And when we're born from the inside out, all things are becoming new. So let me ask you this morning, in a crowd this size, those of you that are streaming online or watching television right now, have you ever been born again, born from above? It's not about a denominational name tag. It's not about cultural whatever. You've not always been a Christian. You need to be born anew at a specific time, at a specific place. Come to Christ today. Every one of us here, give your life to Christ today. Let today become your birthday, and you will be a brand new creature. The third word is the word justification. Justification. We've talked about redemption. We've talked about regeneration. The Bible talks about justification also. That means that God sets you free from your sins, and he declares you as righteous. Did you hear me? He sets you free from your sins and he declares you as righteous. The Bible tells us over in the third chapter of the book of Romans, these words in verse number 24. Look at it with me. They are justified. What does that mean? Set free from sins and declared righteous. They are justified. How? By living good? No. Going to church? No. Joining a church? No. How are we justified? Freely by His grace. How much did it cost me? Didn't cost me anything. It's what? How much? What is it? What is it? It's what? Free. You say, you mean there's really something free? It's free. Why? Through His what? Redemption. Remember? Wages of sin. Jesus paid the what? For the wages of our sin. What do we call that? What is that? Redemption. And we mean that what? He made the ransom payment for my sin. So what does it say here? It says that through the redemption that is in Christ, I am set free by His grace. Now, justification is a legal term. We have attorneys and lawyers that come to our church here, and we have them in all of our campuses. But you know what? It would be like a person who commits a horrible crime, a horrible crime. And the jury determines they are guilty. The evidence is more than clear. And it's so much of an ungodly crime, everybody almost cheers when the jury gives their verdict. So the judge says, I want you to come back 2 weeks from now and I will administer the sentence. And so the lawyers work through all of that and they ask for this, ask for that. Everybody there waits for the sentence. On that second week, they return and they walk in and the judge says something like this. We all know what the jury says. The evidence is more than clear. This person is guilty of this horrible, horrible, horrible crime. But today, my sentence is as follows. There is none. Sir, you are set free from all of the payment of this crime and for what you did. You are free completely. That's what Jesus did for you. The evidence is very clear. Forgive me, I've had a little sickness this week. The evidence is very clear. And when the evidence is very clear, we're all guilty, right? There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of heaven knows we're guilty. All of hell knows we're guilty. All of the world knows we're guilty. But when we come to Christ and we are born anew, we're set free from the penalty of all of our sins. Not based off what we've done, but over here, the old ransom payment's done by Jesus our Lord. He's redeemed us from our sin. I want to tell you something. If you're going to clap, let's clap. Praise God. I mean, that's a wonderful truth. There's nothing worse than a lukewarm clap. Let me give you a statement to think about. When you come to Christ, it's just as if you had never sinned. That's what justification is. It's when you come to Christ, it's just as if you've never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? So when God looks at you, I want to tell you the way He sees you justified. He sees you acquitted from the crime. He sees you as free. Isn't that amazing? Now, why is that? Let me tell you why. Let me give you an illustration. All right. Right here is Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Use your imagination. I come to Christ. I receive that redemption payment. I am born from above. And He sets me free. When I'm born from above. And the moment He sets me free, He takes this right here, His righteousness, and He puts it on me. And when He sees me, He doesn't see me in that sinful status anymore. Oh no! He sees me as His righteousness. And that's what it means that He has imputed upon me His righteousness. He has clothed me in His righteousness. Are you with me today? You see, that's very, very important, because what happens is when you sin, some of you feel real guilty. We all do at times. We feel some shame. We feel guilty. But is that God's will? Absolutely not. Romans 8:1 says, listen, once you know Christ, there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. You know why there's no condemnation? You know why, sister? You know why, brother? I'll tell you why. Because you're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. This isn't about you, it's about Him. Fourth term is sanctification. You say, oh, well, that lost me. I don't understand that one. No, you're not lost. I know where you are. Sanctification. Well, what is that? That's God working in you. Aren't you glad God is working in you? To help you progress in overcoming sin and becoming more Christ-like. Now, when you are born from above, you have received the redemptive payment, and you are set free from your sin, and the righteousness of Christ is on you. From the moment you are set free, you have an issue. You're not dead yet. So what happens is, from the moment you're saved until the moment you die, in between is what we call that sanctification. And sanctification is the process of you learning what it means to walk with Christ and what? And overcoming your sin along the way. Oh, your eternal debt is paid for your sin. So you're not working for your eternal salvation. But you're working through your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Paul said, work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. That's because you reverence God. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you to desire and to work out His good purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 affirms sanctification comes from God. So the moment you're saved, the work of sanctification begins in you. That word sanctification means to be set apart. You see, the moment I was justified, set free from the penalty of my sin, from that very moment, I am now set apart to walk with Christ. God has called me to walk toward Christ, not to walk away from Christ. You say, so what do you call that when we don't work out our sanctification, we end up messing up? I call that sin. And what happens is, that's why you end up doing things you used to do before you got saved. And that's not God's will. You've been set free from all that. So sanctification is the power of Christ working in you and working through you. And that's why it's so important you're taught how to walk with Christ. That's why it's so important you're united and in complete oneness of fellowship with a local church, because that's part of that sanctification process. And that leads to that final word, glorification. Glorification. Now, what is glorification? Glorification is God completing your salvation when Jesus comes again, raising your body from the dead and uniting it with your soul, which goes to heaven the moment you die. So the moment you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're with the Lord immediately. And then as your body is buried, what happens is, when Jesus Christ comes again one day, God will interrupt every cemetery all across the world with those who will and know Him. And He will raise them from the dead. And He will unite their body with their soul. Glorification is what you experience when you meet Jesus and you see Jesus, because the glorification is the final fullness of your salvation. Let me show you how this works out. Romans chapter 8, verse number 30. It says these words. And those he predestined. Remember, he chose us. We don't need to be fearful of that. He chose us. He also called. What does that mean? Called means the Holy Spirit calls me to salvation. And those he called, he also justified. He set us free. And those he justified, he also glorified. Isn't that wonderful? That means that your glorification is going to definitely occur one day because it's used in the past tense. You say, well, how soon will it occur? Well, when you die, so if you want it to occur now, then death is looming. But when Jesus comes again, ultimately, you will be glorified. So Romans 38:30 has tremendous, tremendous implications for each one of us today. He chose us. We didn't choose him. Whosoever will may come. How do I understand that? What's the word for the day? Mystery. But I trust him. And because I trusted him, he redeemed me. And because he redeemed me, today I have been born from above, set free by justification from my sin. And since the moment I was set free, I am now in the process of working out my salvation through sanctification. And one day when the Lord comes, all of us who know Jesus, we will experience the fullness of our salvation. And not until then, ultimately. I mean, could you imagine what it will be like that day when you get on the other side of heaven and everything is clicking? I mean, you think you know what it might be like, but we have no clue what heaven will be like ultimately until we get to heaven personally. And you can just count on it. It'll far exceed any of our expectations and far exceed anything we even have in our mind today. Oh, listen, God is good, and he has given us some tremendous truths in what we call salvation. Now, today we're going to close, and we're going to declare. Let me say a few things today about that declaration. I realize for some of you, this is a little bit different, what I've been leading you in doing. Some of you aren't used to declaring things out loud in church, other than maybe sing a little bit. Maybe along the way we'll read a text. But do you realize we're a confessional people? That's who we are. And we need to confess what we believe. And that's what this series is about, is teaching you how to know who you are, what you're about, what it means, and confess it out loud. Now today, we're going to lead you through this time of confession in relationship to what you believe about salvation and what we believe about salvation. I need you to sit up. I need you to take hold. I need you to look at the screens with me in a moment. I need you to open that which God has given you, called your mouth, and you to confess it out loud. And I want you to hang with me, because we're going to be confessing a while. But it's good, and it's going to really help you understand a few things we have just taught you or you've learned before in your life. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. And so now we're ready. We're going to talk about salvation. And the first word is salvation. So everyone declare it out loud with me. It's on the screen. Are you ready? Salvation involves the redemption of the whole man and is offered freely to those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who by his own blood obtained eternal redemption for the believer. In its broadest sense, salvation includes regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. There is no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. So let's start by talking about regeneration. Are you ready? Out loud. Everyone, y'all help me now. Come on. I'm struggling. Regeneration, or the new birth, is a work of God's grace whereby believers become new creatures in Christ Jesus. It is a change of heart wrought by the Holy Spirit through conviction of sin, to which the sinner responds in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith are inseparable experiences of grace. Repentance is a genuine turning from sin toward God. Faith is the acceptance of Jesus Christ and commitment of the entire personality to Him as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? Are you grasping? You've learned some of these words, so let's talk about what they mean. Let's go to this one. This is one of the easier words. Justification. Are you ready? Justification is God's gracious and full acquittal upon principles of His righteousness of all sinners who repent and believe in Christ. Justification brings the believer unto a relationship of peace and favor with God. All right, that's good, isn't it? Peace, favor of God. I'm for peace, I'm for favor. How many of y'all are? All right, now let's talk about sanctification. Sanctification is the experience beginning in regeneration by which the believer is set apart to God's purposes and is enabled to progress toward moral and spiritual maturity through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. Growth in grace should continue throughout the regenerate person's life. And then we come to glorification. Are you ready? Everyone now, glorification is the culmination of salvation and is the final blessed and abiding state of the redeemed. Oh, what a wonderful statement. I tell you what, God is good, isn't he? I mean, he's given us such a wonderful, wonderful element of salvation. You say, well, preacher, you're about to wear me out. Oh no, I'm not done yet. You see, we also speak about election. You say, are you telling me that a Baptist church has a confessional statement about election? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's in the Bible. So what do we believe about election? Let's say it out loud now. Election is the gracious purpose of God according to which He regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. It is consistent with the free agency of man and comprehends all the means in connection with the end. It is the glorious display of God's sovereign goodness and is infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. It excludes boasting and promotes humility. I love that statement. All true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by His Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere till the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgments on themselves. Yet, I love this last statement, be demonstrative, yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Did you hear that? Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Listen to me today. If you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, you will persevere to the end in your faith. You said, now wait a minute, what about the carnal believer who falls away and sometimes they never come back? That's true. There are some. I'm convinced that when you get to heaven, there's not near as many as you think there are. Because what's going to happen is that those who really know him, they won't stay away long. Or the Lord will deal with where they are. Because he loves them so much, he will call them back to himself. Again, I don't understand all the mystery of that. But the good news is that I don't have anything to do with their salvation or my own. God saves us. And the great news is whom he saves and what he starts, he finishes every time. And my salvation is contingent not on my conduct, but on his finished work at redemption. And he is who I'm counting on. If you have never been born from above, and you cannot name the place where you were born from above, you need to be born from above today. Does that mean I gotta go up there to get born from above? Oh no, that means you gotta come down here so we can tell you what it means and so we can lead you to faith in Jesus Christ our Lord.